In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So again, welcome to St. Andrew's on this 4th of July weekend. A couple things I want to say about the gospel. First, I want to just draw your attention to what we heard in this morning's reading from Isaiah. Which is notable, I think, in this. It is one of those passages in Scripture that gives perhaps as feminine a reading of God's presence as almost anywhere else in all of Scripture. Well, I mean, you know that certainly during my lifetime as an active adult Christian and certainly through all of my ordained ministry, one of the things that has been so hotly controversial in the church is this issue of men and women and gender identity and the gender of God and the language that we use to talk about God and how it's actually in the end not an insignificant thing if every time we refer to God we use a masculine pronoun. That, you know, it becomes kind of the climate or the air that we breathe. And, you know, early on, that was one of the things that my generation has taken on, which is to say, looking at the way language reflects our understanding of God. All of that is a rather lengthy introduction to say, I hope that we can hear in what Isaiah is saying about the feminine nature of God. Like a mother, I will care for you. Like a child dandled on his mother's knee. This is imagery for God's presence that is that stands out in the Old Testament, which is why I'm bringing your attention to it. Notice that. Notice also, and this is actually part of the larger sort of issue that I'm trying to deal with in the sermon today. Notice also that it raises for us just the general understanding of who God is. In our world. And you hear me talk about this with some regularity. The passage that made it so clear to me was, you know, I don't know, last year, where in the Old Testament the majesty and sort of scale of God's presence is, the writer is attempting to demonstrate this. And he says, God is so high above the earth that when he looks down, the people look like grasshoppers. And you know, so this is 3,000 years ago. God is so high above us, so big, that when he looks down on us, we look like grasshoppers to God. Okay, well that's the basic sort of set of assumptions within which the Bible was written. How do we make sense of that when we know that from another part of the universe, light has been traveling for 10 billion years to get to us? And is just now reaching our instruments. Or when we don't really understand how to draw a meaningful boundary between matter and energy so that the entire cosmos seems like this pulsing field of vast, vast energy. We know that within that universe, it's not going to work very well to speak simplistically of God as a man or God as a woman. Whoever gave rise or whatever presence gave rise to this mysterious universe in which we find ourselves, I think it's safe to say is beyond the categories of our sexual differentiation. Not man, not woman. Beyond either of these categories. And yet, our language keeps pushing us back to an older image of God that is really much sort of cast in the image of a person, like a man sitting somewhere in the cosmos looking down. It's interesting, fun, pictorial language, but it doesn't say much to us. When I survey the universe these days, I have no sense of a man sitting somewhere sort of surveying it all. Or like, you know, or like Gary Gary Larson in The Far Side, you know, with sort of a kind of a disheveled, white-haired god at the keyboard looking at his screen, and there's a guy with he's walking with a piano over him. And God's getting ready to hit the smite key. No, it's not funny. No. It's the drugs. Sorry. What kind of story do we have about how God acts in our universe? The universe and within the categories of personhood and of science and of matter and of energy and of time and of scale. How do we tell the story that makes sense? And it's in that sense that I finally get into the sermon. Jesus sending people out today. And what does it mean for us to be sent out? And, you could consider this topic under the category of evangelism. That's the whole story of the early church, the spread of the early church, the communication of some reality. And I meet almost no one who feels prepared to go out into the world and to do that. And most of the time, I think we labor under an assumption that what it means to go out, to be sent in advance of Jesus, to go out into the world, to make this Christian reality known, you have to either master a lot of church history, you've got to master a lot of really arcane theology, you've got to know what everything we do here in church means, why I'm wearing green, why we light the right candle before the left. You have to know all of that. And if you don't, wow, is your life going to be diminished? And you have no reason to go out. Well, of course, you don't need to know any of that. It might be helpful if you knew some of it. But what are we really sent out with into the world? And I was talking with Corey the other day, and she is doing some theater work in Bozeman, meeting a new group of people, met a young woman. And she came home and told me the other night about how eager this woman was to talk about her life and about what she's doing with her life and what's happening in her marriage and in her relationship. And Corey came home and said, oh, how hungry she was to talk at a level of depth and honesty, and how easy it was to talk to her at that level. And I said to Corey, I think it's sometimes easy for us to take for granted what it's like to be in a community like St. Andrew's, where in fact we do talk to each other about the things that matter. When we're suffering, when we're ill, when we're confused, when we're alone, we actually do talk to each other. And that's no small thing. How many times have you heard someone say, who has cancer, say, oh, even the people I thought I knew really well, like they wouldn't talk to me because they didn't know what to say. That kind of apprehension or anxiety that comes when somebody has something heavy to talk about. And do I have the resources to meet them where they actually are and engage them there? And I would remind us that yes, we do have those resources. When Jesus sent his disciples out with nothing, no purse, no sandals, no staff, in a sense, that's how I would send us out too. Send us out into the world with nothing except our own softened hearts, those hearts that over time, as Ezekiel promises us, our hearts will be turned from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, and we'll actually be able to sit with our neighbors in the mystery of this life, and we'll be able to hear people's questions about what am I doing with this life, and we'll be able to go just as deep as the conversation wants us to go into this great living mystery. The mystery, finally, is not about what we do in church. There's a lot of stuff that nobody really understands. And in fact, even the people who are teaching at seminaries don't understand it. Inside secret, don't let anybody else know that. A lot of stuff. And yet there's a, I'll throw this little jab in. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense in the church because it doesn't make sense. That's very different from encountering. You step out the door and you look at a tree growing, and you wonder how it is that the world is set up so that tree receives the light from a nearby star and converts it into green matter. Ponder that, where we are in this play of matter and energy. Ponder that. I send you out with open, empty hearts, trusting that we are a people who can speak the truth in love to one another, that we carry with us a secret. Maybe we've learned that secret from Jesus, who says to us every week that we come, you know, if you really knew who you are and who God is, you wouldn't be afraid. And if you really knew what this life is about, you wouldn't worry so much. And if you could really see every person's heart that was right around you, you yourself would be moved with compassion, and you would be gentle to them, and you would be kind, and you would seek to draw them back out of whatever place of fear they've gotten lost in. That's what you would do. We go out into the world, our hearts are empty, but they're not uninformed. We've been taught, as we're in this community, that the way to get the single most important quality to get us through this mystery of the human life is whether we approach it with compassion and love for ourselves and those around us. That's the unanimous voice. Every wise person in human history has said that. And Jesus says it too. And we are followers of Jesus. And he sends us out. And I send you out to, again, not thinking you need to know all of the arcane details of all of the history of the church. That's not what Jesus wants us to communicate. What Jesus wants us to communicate is what Jesus wants us to hear. That you are loved, that you are safe, that everything in your life will go better if you approach it with compassion. Now go out and do that work.